Welcome back to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Incova Insurance, where we sit down each week to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. My name is Ben Waite, and I'm joined as always by Mr. Gene Smith. Gene, first and foremost, how are we doing today?
Great, Ben. Thank you for doing this. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Oh, it's my distinct pleasure. We are in the heart of championship season right now. I know we've had teams running all over the city and all over the country in competition. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about everything that our teams have going on right now?
Yeah, well, March Madness is not just about our basketball teams. It's about all of our sports. And we're really, really fortunate that many of our sports are doing exceptionally well. We had an unbelievable, exciting contest with our women's basketball team here on this past Monday. Over 5,100 fans showed up at a 4 o'clock game on a Monday and went down to the wire. And Jesse Sheldon made a shot with less than 2 minutes to go to give us the lead and the win. And it was just an exciting contest. And actually, this weekend in Columbus, we hosted the first and second rounds of the men's basketball tournament at Nationwide Arena. And they had the largest attendance of any first and second rounds in the country, with over 59,000 fans coming to those contests. So it was really a great weekend that way. And our women's ice hockey team competed in the national championship, trying to defend their national championship performance up in Duluth, Minnesota, against Wisconsin. Wisconsin won out, one zip. But it was an exciting season for our women's ice hockey program. And then our men's wrestling team competed in the NCAAs this past weekend and ended up fourth, and really proud of them. They did an exceptional job, and we have a great team coming back next year. So really excited about them. And in baseball, softball are starting their contests at home finally. We finally have a shot at getting some home contests. In fact, tonight our baseball team faces Toledo, and softball team faces Michigan this weekend, and our men's volleyball team is still competing. We just have a lot going on, and I know we're going to talk about women's golf and the success that they've enjoyed, but both of our golf programs are off to great starts, and so we just got a lot going on. Really, really proud of our kids.
Very excited to have arguably our tannest student athletes come back, the softball and baseball teams that have been playing down south for the last month or so. But today we are very excited to have another one of our staff and student athlete spotlight series episodes here on the Gene Smith Podcast. And our segment today is exciting because it's a 2-for-1 deal. We're joined by a pair of representatives from our women's golf program. And after a successful Ohio State career as a student athlete, competing professionally in the LPGA, and a stint as an Ohio State assistant and head coaching opportunities at Texas State and Kent State, our first guest returned to Columbus to become the women's head golf coach in 2021. Welcome to the Gene Smith Podcast, Lisa Strom.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate you guys having us on here.
Absolutely. Our second guest is a native of Bristol, England. She represented her home country in international competition for the last 2 years and has begun an exciting amateur career competing in tournaments all across Europe. Was named the MAC Golfer of the Year during her playing days at Kent State before transferring here to be a Buckeye. Welcome, Kaylee McGinty.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Lisa, I wanted to start with you. Could you tell us a little bit about your background before coming to Ohio State as a student athlete even, and then what initially brought you to campus here?
Yeah, I mean, really going back to my early days, my mom came over from Ireland to be a nanny for a doctor and his wife, a little boy that they had. So she was in Boston for a while and then ended up getting over to the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, crossed paths with my dad. So they got married and we're living in Aberdeen, South Dakota when they had me, and grew up in the Midwest. We moved around a couple of times. My dad worked for an insurance company, so wasn't a military brat, but moved around, and golf was always a big part of our family growing up. Vacations, family vacations, we had the topper on the car and we were putting golf clubs in there and bringing them in at night, stuff like that. So You know, one thing I always remember is my dad could smell out a golf course from anywhere. We'd be driving down the highway before GPSs and cell phones and anything. And he's like, I think there's a golf course around here. We'd play nine holes and get back in the car and keep on going. So he really introduced me to the game. He was my teacher growing up. Didn't really get formal instruction until I got to the collegiate level, really. But we moved to Pennsylvania in high school. And so my end of my freshman year of high school, quickly learned over the summertime that I was going to be playing with the boys because there was no girls team in Pennsylvania for high school golf, and came home crying after the first day of practice saying, you know, there's no chance that I'm going to make it through this. They're not even going to keep me on the team. And the next day, after my dad just kind of encouraged me to keep going back, found out that the coach was not going to cut me. Our Spanish teacher was our golf coach. And he was like, listen, you go to districts automatically. You don't, you know, like, we're not going to cut you. We're not going to, you know, say you can't be part of the team. So went on to have, you know, a decent high school career. And I just, you know, through high school, I had dreamed of playing collegiate sports. And, you know, the opportunity to get to Ohio State with Therese here was one of the best ones that I could have dreamed of.
At what point did you really start to think that you could make a career out of golf, both playing at first and then as a coach?
Yeah, well, I don't even know if Gene knows this. I started out as a pre-med major and wanted to be a pediatrician. I love little kids, and got here, and that was just headstrong. Here I go, and got into these classes, and I was like, nope, that's not going to work. And I wasn't even really good at golf at the time. Like, I thought I was good, but I wasn't really that good. I wasn't traveling. My first 2 years, made one trip, made the lineup for spring break my sophomore year. I redshirted my freshman year, and thankfully spring break was in Hawaii, so that was a good one to go to. But you know, I we had a big team. We had probably 12 or 14 players on our team at back in those years. And it was just hard, you know. And I just realized after that second year of being in college golf and not really traveling, not really making an impact, I was like looking in the mirror at myself, like, what is going on? I've got to be the one that gets better. And that summer, I really took myself more seriously and ended up in Massachusetts over the summer working at a golf school, kind of setting up in the morning for the golf school, breaking it down in the evenings. But all in between that, I had free reign of going to play and practice as much as I could. And that was the summer for me that I look back, and that changed the trajectory of where I was going to go with my golf career. And I remember finishing up the first qualifier, which is usually a 4 or 5 round qualifier at the start of our season. And Therese looking at me, and she was like, what did you do all summer? I just played and practiced. And it's amazing, right? When you put in the time and the effort and have some passion behind it, what can start to happen. So I didn't miss a trip after that, you know, and made a good impact, I think, on the team here, and started to kind of really believe in myself and what I was doing. And then, you know, Therese, and it goes without saying, but her impact on me is far greater than just golf. But she started believing in, hey, you've got what it takes to go to the next level. And I kind of was like, okay, well, I don't even know what that means, but I knew choosing Ohio State that I wanted to play for someone that had played on the LPGA Tour and had that experience. We're about 20 years apart in age, and I kind of see myself kind of mirroring what she ended up doing, you know, going on to earn her LPGA Tour status as well as myself. And it's just neat to kind of look back and see how the dots connect now. But I definitely, I knew I made the right choice in coming to Ohio State for sure.
What then, fast forwarding, what drew you 2 years ago to come back to Ohio State? What made you want to come back and be the head women's golf coach here?
Great question. I bleed scarlet and gray, even when I had to wear blue and yellow at Kent State. You know, my wardrobe changed up there, and I looked at that one day and I was like, this can't be forever, can it? but you know, I think a conversation that Gene and I had in the spring of 2016 happened in his office. My dad had passed away in April, and a job opportunity at Texas State had come up. And I went and talked to Gene, and I just said, look, what do I need to do? How do I need to set myself up for success later on? And he gave me great advice. And he said, you know, sometimes you've got to leave the nest to be able to come home later. And so I took that opportunity to make that program better. And then Kent State came along, which is a great program in men's and women's golf, and kept that program rolling. I can't say that we've made it better. It just kept progressing there. And then with Therese being the director of golf here and looking to hire a head coach on the women's side. I mean, the opportunity of a lifetime to come back and lead this team and to be where I am right now is just a true blessing. And I'm grateful for Gene's leadership and the belief in me as a person and what I'm doing.
Gene, do you feel Lisa's previous experiences, both having been at Ohio State before and as a professional athlete, help her in her current role? And if so, how?
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime you have an opportunity to be in the shoes of the student athletes you ultimately serve, it's something you never forget. You know, Lisa's never forgot what it was like for her as a student athlete and the things that she went through. So she has that appreciation, and that stays with you. It always does. And so then her experiences that she had here as an assistant coach, and then ultimately sitting in the seat, being a head coach at different places, she was uniquely ready for this opportunity to come home and lead. But all the, you know, we're the total sum of our experiences in life, and how we take advantage of those experiences and learn and grow is so important. And she's done that excellently. And so now it was, her background is really actually perfect to be a coach because she was an athlete. She was a coach here. She played professionally. She was a coach here, and then she went away. You know, that's sometimes you have to go away to see your blind spots or to see yourself in a different view and have other people around you share things with you or about you that when you're in your own comfort zone, you know, you don't hear those things. And so she was challenged differently where she went, and that helped her grow.
During the hiring process, whether it's for a coaching position or even an administrative position, how do you take into consideration Ohio State connections?
I always take that into consideration. It's something that, you know, we need to always be sensitive to. But, you know, your talents and skills and gifts, you know, you have to bring to the tables. You have to do the X's and O's. But the relationship does matter. Your historical presence here, whether if you're a former student or student athlete, you know, that's a huge benefit. If you look in our department now, I used to count the number of former athletes that we have on our staff, but now I don't even count them because it's, you know, it's just so many. In fact, I think our entire leadership institute is former athletes or coaches. So it's that connection does matter.
Knowing that so many of our student athletes aspire to play at the next level of competition, how do you feel exposure to the professional level for a coach helps to make them or is a differentiator in their experience?
I think it's important. You know, that's really a good question for Lisa. I mean, she was there, you know, she understood what it meant in that first year, probably starving to chase the dream. And so she can talk about
the first year, Gene, not just the first year.
Drinking water through a fire hose, you know, it's like a, you know, you're reliving your freshman year, you know, you're starting all over and you're literally, you know, just trying to figure it out and to chase that dream. But, you know, we always try and encourage those athletes who feel like they want to chase the dream, whether it's professional or Olympics, you got to chase it because you don't want to be 45, 50, 60 years old and wish that you'd given it a shot. Now, we want to be honest with them about their potential as they chase it. So they go with eyes wide open. But you know, I think it's important for someone like Lisa, who's played at that level, to be able to share, you know, here's what you're going to face. Here's what you need to be ready for. You know, here's the financial reality. You know, it's different for different sports, but there are financial realities and that you will struggle with. So there's so many other issues.
I am at 35, still trying to chase that dream, Gene. Having not even played at the college level, it's a bit of a hindrance, but I was going to go over to Pro Day over at the Woody today and see if maybe some NFL scouts wanted to take a look.
Stretch those hamstrings, Ben.
Right. There's not enough stretching in the world, Lisa. Kaylee, you're originally from the UK. You spent time at Kent State and Oklahoma State before coming to Columbus. What made you decide that you wanted to be a Buckeye?
I think I just really wanted to be in an environment where I could develop as a player and as a person as well. And after coming on my visit and seeing the facilities, and I knew like how Coach Strong operated after being coached by her at Kent State, I knew it would be the perfect environment for me to be able to do that. And when I came on my visit, it just really felt a lot like home. So it was quite an easy decision.
Tell us about home. Tell us about your background. When did you start playing golf?
I started playing golf when I was 7 or 8. My parents don't play, and I'm still trying to convince them to this day. But my brother is 7 years older than me, and he just came home one day and just wanted to try golf. So we went to our local golf course, and they had a junior like club night. So you would just go and learn how to play and play for candy and just things like that. And then I just started going once a week from that age and just never stopped.
Do you still play with your brother, and how competitive does it get?
It's still competitive, especially in COVID when there was no tournaments. We would do weekly matches. But yeah, my brother is a good player as well, so it's fun.
At what point playing growing up did you think that you had a future in the sport?
It's an interesting question, because thinking about it, there was no real moment where I was like, this is what I want to do. I feel like my golf evolved pretty quickly. So at age 10, I was playing internationally, and it just always was my thing. And I never really thought of anything else. So I would say from as long as I can remember, it's always been that way.
It's a big jump to then make that leap and come to the States and play at the collegiate level so far away from home. Tell us about that process and what was going through your mind when you were first making that consideration.
Yeah, I definitely started the process a lot later than most people. I didn't really know much about college athletics until I was about 17. And then I started to research more about it and went through an agency who helped me learn more about it and kind of get recruited and set me up with coaches and stuff like that. So it all happened very quickly. And it was quite unexpected, because I'm a real home bird. I love home. I'm very, very close to my parents. And when I told my mom that's what I wanted to do, she was very surprised and very worried. So it was a big transition, but it was definitely for the best.
So what do you major?
I stayed at the time too, and we couldn't get her there. So
what are you majoring in?
I'm communications.
Okay. So how difficult was it for you transferring? Because those are different experiences. What was it like for you?
It was definitely difficult with credit hours and all of the rest of it, but I got set up with the advisor and got all classes in order. So transferring is not easy, but definitely have people around to make it as easy as possible.
That's great. All right, so what was the best score you ever shot?
My best in a tournament, probably the last tournament we were at, I shot 9 under 63, but in practice I've shot 10. So that's my biggest number here.
Gene, what's your low score ever?
It's not going to be ever shown publicly or talked about. Oh my goodness. That's unbelievable. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Program okay. record last week. That's right.
The program record.
Anything in the double digits is a success for me. So you're well on your way, Kaylee. what would you say is the biggest difference between playing in Europe and playing here in the States?
Definitely in the States, everybody hits it a lot further out here. Growing up, we play a lot of links golf. The golf courses are a lot more tight. So you don't have to carry it that far. You don't actually have to know carry numbers at home, because you run everything. You hit everything lower. The ball flight is lower. And then coming here, it's a lot more target-based, so you have to be a lot more dialed in with carry numbers and trying to hit it as hard as I can. I've gained a lot of distance since I've been over here, just because I've had to. So it's been interesting to see the difference between the two.
What's your favorite course in the United States that you've played so far?
I got to play Augusta National last year, so definitely that one.
Of course.
How could it not be?
Mic drop. You got anything better than that, Gene?
No.
Oh my goodness. Congratulations there. That's awesome. That's top of the pyramid right there.
Gene, Kaylee and the rest of our Buckeyes train and compete at what I think is maybe one of the hidden gems for our department and campus on the whole over at the Ohio State Golf Club. Operationally, what does it take from our department to maintain a 36 hole golf course of that caliber to make sure that they have that to compete on?
Well, it takes the people, the right people. And we're fortunate. We have outstanding people there. Our general manager and then our coaches work well together, just making sure that we maintain our mission and our vision for the golf courses. We have great members. We have over 800 members and a long waiting list. So they enjoy playing out there, but Mark Lucas and Dennis Bowser and all the others out there, they do a marvelous job of taking care of the course. We have an endowment that was left to us by a great family, and we are able to use those dollars to maintain the course as best we can. And so it's something that's we really, really take pride in. We're fortunate. They have two different type of courses. The Scarlet and the Gray are totally different courses. One's longer than the other, and they're just two different courses. And so it really serves a different demographic of people. So it's really a great setup for us. And so it starts with the people, Ben. And we have the equipment, of course, but at the end of the day, people who care is what matters the most.
What sort of exposure does the golf club offer our department throughout the year?
Well, we've over the years, we've limited the number of outings out there because our membership has grown significantly. But we do have some outings, so that's great. For people who don't normally play Scarlet, they get an opportunity to play in an outing on a Monday, and they play Scarlet maybe for the first time, and hopefully their experience is a good one, and they carry that word back to wherever they are and talk about how great that experience was. But then we have great tournaments. The women has the Kepler. We have student athletes from other schools, top of the pyramid schools, coming to play there, and they'll talk about their experience playing at Scarlet. Then we host the Corn Ferry Tour, which is televised, and that's been something that we've embraced and have a renewed contract with, and so that gives us great exposure from a television point of view, and also bringing some top golfers who are trying to get their PGA card. So it's just a number of different things. But most importantly, it's our members. If we do our job right, like our people really try and do, then the membership has a quality experience playing the course. And that's really what it's all about. We're one of the best in Ohio. When you think about it, and certainly, obviously, one of the best in Columbus. So something we take a lot of pride in.
Lisa, your team has one of the smaller roster sizes in our department, which I would imagine means that the relationship building and the culture is of the utmost importance. How do you go about establishing the culture and solidifying those relationships that you're looking for?
Yeah, I think it's a similar answer to what Gene just talked about. It's the people that you have around the program, and then it's the people you're bringing into the program. It's so important to have, student athletes that are on board with, hey, we're gonna do a lot of great things here. We're gonna be highly competitive. We're gonna do it the right way, and we're gonna treat each other with respect, and we're gonna do things together, and we're gonna work really hard. I don't want any kid to come into our program and be surprised at how hard it is. This is not, a club to be just kind of a member of and put on a resume. This is something that we try to do at an elite level in all aspects. And whether we're trying to, enhance the training that we do in our facility, whether it's bringing in new technology or whether it's stuff that Dennis and his crew are working on the golf course to help us provide a better experience for our student athletes. I don't know a team in the country that has free reign of a golf course right now to themselves. We have Scarlett, and our members are okay with that. And Gene mentioned that earlier, but I can't reiterate how much that means to our student athletes when they get to go out there and train and get ready for a tournament at a golf course that we have that, you know, is a high level Alistair McKenzie design, right? So, but it does come back to who you're recruiting, and that's the lifeblood. And you've got to have student athletes that want to just continually be coachable and learn and grow while they're here and realize failing is okay. We're going to help you. We're going to dust you off. We're going to get you back up. And it doesn't mean that those soft skills make us less competitive. It actually enhances our ability to be at a high level more often. And I think, you know, in this day and age with our student athletes, my coaching has evolved in, certainly in the last 12 years. I got into coaching thinking I was going to teach players how to get better at chipping and putting and hitting a golf ball. But, you know, it's really become more about that person. And then once you have built that trust, then you can push them to the level you've built your trust with them. And so I think, you know, just really being diligent with building out those relationships and knowing that you've got their back, and then they are getting on board and they've got each other's back. And I think that's just being on the same page, though, being transparent. I think maybe in my college days, it was do this, and you did it without questioning. And now it's, hey, we're going to explain things a little bit more. We're going to have it detailed out a little bit more so you guys can understand why we're doing what we're doing.
You have one of the smaller rosters, but your competitive schedule is one of the longest on our calendar. How do you try to ensure that your team and staff have the mental and physical stamina for that schedule?
Yeah, I think Gene does a great job of reminding us as coaches and student athletes to take breaks. You know, mentally where we are as a society through COVID, and I think we all got isolated very quickly. We need to take those breaks, though, and mentally recharge. And I think a big part for our student athletes when we're traveling is hydration, recovery, and fueling your body with good food. I mean, we do a lot of education around that with Sarah Wick, our nutritionist for our golf team. She's very mindful of that. We've got the float tank for people that, you know, feel like, hey, I need to kind of get more rest than I'm really getting. There's just so many tools that we've got here at Ohio State that we're fortunate enough to be able to have at our disposal that it really comes down to the student athlete being mindful of their body and the self-awareness. Hey, you know, when we get back from traveling from spring break, we gave them 2 days off, and it was mandatory, but it's needed. You know, hey, don't worry about getting out to the golf course to hit balls or play more. Like, it's okay to rest your mind and your body a little bit. And, you know, I think building that into even our winter time, we really try to dial it back a bit. During December, January, when we get back, and we take one training trip, but we're not full go because we know we've got a long way to go through the end of May to be at our best. Then we've got to make sure that we're taking those smaller steps right now. So I think recovery is a big part of it, though. And they love getting in the gym. Our team loves getting after it. We actually switched up our workouts coming back after spring break. I think that was a big thing. They like feeling strong. They like moving a lot of weight in there. And, you know, that when that carries over to their mental side of things, when they feel empowered and feel good about themselves, it certainly translates to the golf course.
Kaylee, somehow you fit in with this enormous, rigorous schedule that you have competing for Ohio State. You're also able to compete for your national team and internationally as an amateur. Tell us a little bit about competing for the English national team and your experiences at the Curtis Cup.
Yeah, playing for my national team was always like my biggest dream growing up, because there's nothing better than representing the country, and playing in the Curtis Cup was my biggest goal. Great Britain and Ireland is a huge honor, and being around the national team and training with them and competing with them, definitely it taught me how to play for something more than just me. Golf is such an individual sport, and to play for something bigger than myself is like something that carries over into college golf, and definitely something I take even when I'm not playing for the national team. And in the training, they're very good at making you aware of your own tendencies, because you're not always with them. They know that we come out to college, and making sure that we're very good at managing ourselves is a skill that I've learned. And yeah, the training has been really beneficial.
Golf is in many ways on the professional side a very individual sport. Do you feel like your experiences in the college ranks helped prepare you to compete as a golfer on a team for the English national team or in the Curtis Cup?
Definitely. I think when you play for the national team, you're probably 1 week or two or three weeks in a year where you're with other people. But in college, you're around your teammates every day. And I think I definitely learned the value of getting to know my teammates just off of the golf course, and knowing their personalities is a huge thing in team sports. So definitely just learning empathy and knowing that everybody's different has been huge.
We learned that you're a communication major, but Jean's favorite question, what do you want to do after you're done competing?
After college golf, I definitely want to try and play on the LPGA tour. I want to play, like, talking of team golf, Solheim Cup is a huge dream of mine, Europe versus US. So that's definitely
on my list. Cheer for her.
Yeah, that's top of the list.
Kaylee, have you used the float tank yet?
I have, yeah. I used it last semester.
Really? Now, when you get in, do you like automatically fall asleep?
It took me a couple of minutes just because I'd never experienced anything like that before. But I think if I were to do it again, then it would take very long.
Lisa, have you done it yet?
I haven't, but I talked to Coach D about it because I was like, hey, could the coaches come in and wind up? She's like, yeah, we can get you on the schedule. Yeah. So it's on my list.
So when we first opened that facility and we had the float tanks in there, what we learned was the heaviest use is doing finals. Because of many of the student athletes stressing around finals, depending upon what you're majoring in, they found it as a great tool to go in and relax. Mm-hmm. And I've been in it one time. You will go to sleep. Lisa, you will go to sleep automatically.
Sign up today, then.
Yeah, it is relaxing. It's really relaxing.
We're going to start a rotational schedule for staff members with small children.
So, don't be surprised when you see me over there.
We're going to have a pro day signing your contract.
That's right.
I know. I'm going to be very busy. I have a very busy week ahead of me. Jean, before we let everyone go, would you tell our listeners a little bit about what our department has going on over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, we're competing. This is a big transition time for us. Our winter sports are coming to an end. I have to give a shout out again. Our women's swimming team finished sixth in the national championships, was their highest finish ever, 3 years in a row. They're in the top 10, and the men compete this weekend for a national championship. So we're slowly moving from the winter to the spring sports. And hopefully the good Lord's good to us and the weather affords us good weather so those spring sports can be outside and compete. So that's the biggest transition for us right now. We do host the men's gymnastics championships March 31st and April 1st at Covelli. So gymnastics is winding down. Our women's gymnastics team made the nationals. They'll compete in Norman at the regionals and with a chance to go on to the finals. So, and it's their first time since 2012. So we're really excited about finishing our winter sports and then our spring sports getting started. Dan, by the way, we also run all the concerts. So we had the Killers last night in the shot, which is a heavy rock band I learned to understand. And we had about 12,000 fans there. At the same time, our men's baseball team was playing Wright State. So a lot of activity in our athletic district.
There's some built-in walk-up music for the baseball team.
The Killers. I'm learning so much.
You learn a lot when you're in a minivan going from Tucson up to Phoenix to fly home too, about the music choices.
Yeah, I bet you do.
My Spotify rap is going to be all messed up, I think.
You guys are just broadening your horizons every single day.
Well, that does it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Incova Insurance. I want to thank Lisa and Kaylee so much for joining us today. Really appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast. We really appreciate everyone who has listened and subscribed thus far. Be sure to leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. Until next time, for Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I'm Ben Waite. Be well and go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.